Blog Talk Radio.
Well, sounds like our opening theme music didn't play, so that's all right. We are on short time tonight anyway. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My name is Jim, joined as always by my host, co-host Joe Fortunato. Joe, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, we've had a busy night tonight. We've had the SBN fantasy hockey draft for the hockey managers, and we had a preseason game tonight. And that's pretty much what we want to talk about. The Rangers just got finished with a shootout loss to the Devils, losing, I guess, 3-2 is the final score. But I think the big story tonight, and maybe for the first two preseason games, Joe, I think the big story right now is Matt Gilroy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can see it any other way. You know, yesterday he looked a little shaky in the first period. He was just getting his feet underneath him, kind of skating around. But as time goes on, I mean, you don't even realize how good he is in the offensive zone. To be completely honest with you, he moves him like a forward. I mean, he had three scoring chances tonight, and all three of them came from, you know, a foot in front of the crease. So he jumps into the play. His goal was, I mean, his hands are incredible. And I think something that he does that a lot of Ranger fans will like is he never met a shot chance he didn't like. And he shoots. If there's a lane, if there's even half a lane for a shot, Matt Gilroy shoots the puck, and it's something the Rangers have lacked on the power play and on the point for a long, long time.
The thing that I like about Gilroy is that he's not afraid to get deep in the offensive zone. I love that in a Ranger defenseman, and he's got the speed to make up for it to get back when the play moves the other way. Him and really Michael Delzato have showed great speed. The results on Delzato after last night, I thought he played a good game, but the overall results seemed to be pretty mixed around among Ranger fans and the media itself. But I like the way they both moved with the puck and how fast both of them are. And Joe, it's exciting to see them jump up in the offensive play like that. That's something we haven't seen in a few years. Since certain number two was patrolling the blue line for the Rangers.
Yeah, and I mean, you can let me know what you think about this, but I'm pretty sure that with his play, you know, today and yesterday, I think Gilroy has all but locked up that open defensive slot for the team, leaving just that one spot left that Potter, Sawyer, Sanguinetti, Delzato, Heikkinen, whatever, will fight for. I definitely think that Gilroy has... He's made his point. He's made his statement. He was great in the offensive zone. He was competent in the defensive zone. But most importantly, he kept his cool. When he was out of position, he slid back into place. He knew what to do. He didn't panic. I really think he's making it impossible for John Tortorella to say, you know what, you need to spend some time in the AHL. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, he definitely seems to be forcing the Rangers' hand, and that's great. That's what the Rangers were hoping for. The other thing that I like is that John Tortorella said this during the couple of interviews that the clips they had with him during the game last night is that he wants it to get to the point where things look natural to the Rangers when they're playing in this system. I'll tell you, I think Matt Gilroy just looks natural when he's carrying the puck, and I don't want to get too excited. It's only two preseason games, but for this kid to come out of nowhere, really, at least as far as most Ranger fans are concerned, you know, unless you follow a lot of college hockey, you know, most of us are getting our first look at Matt Gilroy, and you have to be at least somewhat impressed and excited at the prospect of him playing for the Rangers. Hopefully, this season, I just can't see how it's not going to happen. And right now, it looks like. You know, if you consider him if you want to just consider him your fifth defenseman, then you've got your sixth and your seventh slot open. I really think the Rangers want to give that sixth, seventh slot to Semenov, who's looked okay. I think he's warranted more playing time as the preseason goes on. I like what I've seen from him. I love the idea of, and I can't, I, if I could, if I had a dollar for every time I've said this, I wouldn't have to work for a living. But I love the idea that the Rangers have needed this big defenseman like him for so long, and maybe he can fill that role. And then it's going to come down to, you know, the Corey Potter, Sauer, Sanguinetti, and yeah, that's the only, I guess, downside right now is I haven't seen those three step into that role yet. They've still got five preseason games to go to see who's going to take that other slot. But you'd have to consider right now Matt Gilroy's the front runner going into the clubhouse.
Yeah, and just to get to a chat question that I see, we like to do this for Mosh, whatever it is that you refer yourself as.
I'm gonna call him Moisha because I just like the way that sounds.
Moisha, all right, Moisha.
We're gonna call him Moisha.
I can tell you why Sanguinetti isn't seeing any preseason play yet, or at least with the Rangers. And every single indication out of camp is that he is not conditioning properly over the summer. He seems tired, out of breath when they're doing the scrimmages. His play, it's not awful, but it's not where it would need to be for him to have a serious spot. So I think for the most part, they're aware that he's going to play in the AHL this year, and they're putting him there. As for Heikkinen, I kind of feel like they want to give him a look later in camp. I think you're going to see him in the next two preseason games, but I think for the most part, they want him to get his feet wet a little bit. I mean, from, you know, his Finnish league to the AHL level, and now I think they're going to bring him back up. But everything I've heard he's done unbelievable in camp. So I'm not really sure if, I don't know what the thought process is behind there, but I'd assume you'll see Heikkinen at least once.
Well, Heikkinen played the first game of the doubleheader today. He played the
AHL
in the early
game today.
We didn't get a whole lot of updates from that. Really, I was getting my updates from Lori from Beyond the Blue Shirts. She was at the game. They let people in for free, and she went to the game, and she was tweeting, tweeping, whatever you want to call it. She was giving us some updates, but we didn't get a full report of what was going on. So he did get some playing time today, and Friday and Saturday. I think Friday night is Detroit, correct? Friday night Detroit,
yes.
Saturday against Boston.
Yes, or Washington. Washington's in there somewhere.
I think Washington's at the tail end of the preseason. I think they're the last two games.
Okay.
I think it's Detroit Friday, Boston Saturday. And then I think there might be one more game against the Devils in there, and then two against Washington, if I'm not mistaken. Moisha, get that phone charged up. We want you to call in. Guys, this is all about you tonight. We want to hear your thoughts on the first two preseason games. Phone number to call, as always, 646-478-4692. We've got no show outline tonight. We've got nothing. We're just talking about the preseason games, and we want to hear your calls. So don't be shy. Get out of that chat room. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Moisha, go grab somebody else's phone or get the cordless, whatever you got to do. Get on Skype. I don't care. We want to hear from you guys and see what you guys are thinking. Let's talk about a little bit about Grachev, the other guy everybody's excited about. Honestly, tonight between not being able to find an internet feed, and I don't want to say that too loud, but between not being able to find an internet feed right away and then the draft that was going on, and there was a couple of things going on at the house here tonight, I couldn't really zero in on watching the game tonight, so Joe, maybe you can fill me in, or somebody can call in and tell us how Grachev looked tonight. I know I saw some comments in the chat room that you guys liked what you were seeing. Grachev,
you know,
I thought last night looked great.
He's really good. He's really competent in both zones as well. And, you know, I don't want to use out that term, but it's really important to see that a player can play well in both zones. Yesterday was more of a defensive role for him. He played on the PK. He did a lot of defensive work. Today, I thought he showed much more of his offensive prowess. And what caught my eye when it came to Grachev was his passing. You know, everyone talks about, oh, he scored 40 goals in the OHL. It was unbelievable. He's a sniper. And I'm not arguing against that, because the two shots he took tonight that I saw were very good. But he made three or four unbelievable passes, cross ice, you know, through the crease that were just right on the tape, right where they're supposed to be, that if, say, and I don't know, I'm just throwing a name out there, Marian Gaborik would have gotten his hands on, he would have buried. And I was truly impressed with that aspect of his game. It was really, really nice to see. And he was hitting everyone he could find. He's muscling guys off the puck. In the corners, it's like he just knows what he's doing. He can shift the puck around. He has a big lower frame. He moves himself over. He gets into space, and he does what he has to do. It is very refreshing.
The thing that I saw with Grachev last night that I liked was that for a big guy, how big is Grachev? 6'2", 6'3"? I don't have any stats in front of me tonight. We're, you know, like I said, we're very off the cuff tonight. Let me see if I can look him up real quick. I think he's about 6'3", Joe, something like that, maybe.
He's a big boy, and, you know, hockey's future, obviously, who's a
okay.
Very good – go ahead.
I'm sorry. Hockey's future has been listed at 6'3", so he's a big guy, okay? But what I noticed and what I was impressed with him is that for a big guy, he seems to, at least to me, to be a very smooth skater. He moves he just glides when he's skating. He's got a nice long stride and he just moves well, and that's good to see. I mean, the other thing that I've noticed is that the Rangers just the pace of the game, and it's not just because they're playing in a more up tempo style, because really the system hasn't even been implemented yet. The Rangers, to my understanding, except for some scrimmages, really haven't even gotten down to the nuts and bolts of what this system is going to be under John Tortorella. It's more some scrimmaging. And, you know, a lot of the conditioning and the hard work that they're going to do to get into shape to make it through this long season, which hopefully will last well into spring and summer, or at least late spring, which would be wonderful. Their pace is just so much faster. There's so many. They seem to be so much more of an athletic team, Joe. So much. It just seems to take so much less time for them to get to one end of the ice to the other. You don't have all these slow-footed skaters that just seem to take, you know, forever to get from one end of the ice to the other in the transition game. And that's one thing that's really impressed me. And look at this. We've got the mouth has even showed up for this late
celebrity here
last-minute edition. I appreciate it. You guys are look at this chat room. It's full. I love it. We really appreciate it, guys. This was. This was a last-minute thing that Joe and I decided to do. After we talked about it, we kind of felt like after the other night, we didn't want to sit on that for 8 days. We wanted to get back on the air and just talk to you guys. And we got a phone call in the queue. I think this is DB Maven, if I remember his phone call correctly. 718-225. You were on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Oh, Stan.
Oh, hey, Stan. How are you? Oh, we haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, Stan.
You're from Bayside.
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Good, good. Glad to hear from you. How was everything tonight?
Good. Obviously, I watched the first two games. I don't know if you recall, but when back early in the summer, I said I thought that Gilroy would make the team. He had to play his way off. It not only looks like he's going to make it, he looks like he's going to be on the top pair. I mean, the kid looks fantastic. As far as...
Yeah, there's no debate, and we've talked about this before. Obviously, you know, the Rangers had high hopes for him, signing him right out of school, and a lot of different teams are interested in him, but I truly did not expect him to be this comfortable in both zones. I mean, don't forget, he's 25 years old. He's not a kid. It helps a lot, especially for a defenseman, because his body's already filled out. He's a bigger kid. He's a bigger guy, and it's not like Delzato, who is 19 years old, who doesn't have muscle yet and is still getting pushed around. So that definitely helps him.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's one reason why I thought he'd be the one to stick. Delzato, I'm sure he's going to be good down the road, but I'm sure they'll send him back to junior. As far as Grachev goes, again, you're talking about a kid, but you can just see the potential on him is enormous. I think he'll probably start the season in Hartford, but I don't think he's going to be there all that long.
Yeah, I mean,
before the end of the year,
Jeff from the Prospect Park talked about this And he said that he sees Grachev as a, you know, first-line winger in Hartford and the Rangers' first call-up if anything goes awry. And I completely agree. I think that, you know, Grachev is, let's just say this, he's making it very difficult for the New York Rangers to send him to the AHL this year.
Yeah, they probably just want to give him a little seasoning there and bring him up.
Joe, refresh my memory. Is Delzato at that age where he can't play in the AHL but can play in the NHL?
From everything that I've heard, it's NHL or OHL. I think he cannot play in the AHL, but I don't know because he's the same age as Grachev, and Grachev is eligible for the AHL.
Yeah, well, that's because Grachev came over from, you know, Russia. So
you're right. Yeah, Stan's right. I think it's because he came over. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that Delzato, regardless of what the rules are, it'll be OHL or NHL.
Yeah, he has another last year of eligibility, so he has to go back.
So expect him back in London. And, Jim and I disagree about this. I think it's going to be very good for his development if he spends another year in London, because not only is he going to basically, you know, hone his defensive skill, but he's also going to be – he's going to wear the C for London, so he'll learn how to be a leader as well, which as a defenseman is equally important. So he can work on his offensive game, and then he's the guy. There's no more Tavares. There's no more Nazi. It's him. And I'm curious to see how he flourishes in that zone.
I could see him making the team next year without any AHL.
You know, Stan, if he has, even if he plays the same way he's playing now, I think another year in his development, if his defensive game gets up, I completely agree with you. I really do.
All we need is Dubinsky signed, and we can get ready for the season.
You know, speaking of Dubinsky, and a couple of people have mentioned this in the chat room, he really needs to start, you know, peeking over his shoulder a little bit, because I got news for you. If the Rangers just turn around and decide, you know what, we're going to roll with Prospel, Drury, Anisimov, and Boyle as our four centers, we can just I would see no problem with them putting Grachev at the wing that Boyle or that Prospel would leave, and then there's no need for Dubinsky. So, you know, me and Jim talked about on the last show that we weren't sure if there were going to be replacements for Dubinsky if he didn't, you know, if he didn't sign. But I think that there's valuable replacements out there. I mean, Byers looked pretty good yesterday. Lisson looks awesome. So I really do think that Dubinsky should probably take the contract and play out the year. I mean, I don't know what you're thinking, Jim, but what are your thoughts?
You know, I can't help but think that the Rangers are starting to resign themselves to a life without Brandon Dubinsky. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, Brandon Dubinsky, we all like him because we like his style. But, you know, I can't see any time in the near future where we're just going to be sitting here saying to ourselves, oh, my God, do we miss Brandon Dubinsky. I mean, you know, it's just, I like him. I like the way he plays the game. But, you know, let's face it, the bottom line is this guy's only got about 30 NHL goals, you know, in his career, and it's not going to be that hard to replace. And I think the Rangers are just starting to get the mindset that, you know, they may have, there's going to be a life after Brandon Dubinsky. And, you know, it sucks because, you know, we've heard the stories how he loves being a Ranger and he paints the logo on the ice and he does this and he does that. And this is the only thing he's ever wanted to be is a New York Ranger. Well, then either him or his agent better get his head out of his keister and say, you know what, I got to be at camp with my teammates because time's ticking away. He's already missed 2 of 7 preseason games. You know, we've got 5 preseason games left to go. The season starts 2 weeks and 2 days from today. He's got to get in there. He's got to be there.
And, I mean, even more importantly than that, there are whispers coming out of Rangers camp that Brandon Dubinsky's teammates are calling him and texting him and emailing him and saying, Brandon, you need to get to camp. We, like, just sign the contract and walk away. Because I got news for you. if I was Brandon Dubinsky, I would probably pay the Rangers money to play for them. So if he's as big of a fan as the Rangers as he says he is, if he really wants to play there as much as he says he is, just take the contract. He will make his money next year. And I mean, Jim, I know I just said it, but I really think that not only are the Rangers looking for life after Dubinsky, if Dubinsky doesn't come back, I mean, I would not mind seeing a prospect, you know, another prospect come up, especially from all the things we've seen here. And I got news for you. Even if Dubinsky comes up and Dubinsky signs a contract tomorrow, Tortorella's pissed. Tortorella is mad that he's not a camp. He's made his thoughts clear. And you know who's really getting hurt? Dubinsky is not taking first-line reps as a first-line center. He's not playing with Gavrik in practice. He's not scrimmaging with Gavrik in practice. So you know who's going to take his spot? Prospel is. So even if Dubinsky signs, he may have already mailed in his first-line status.
I think he's going to
He's not hurting anybody but himself. You know, Tortorella will – you know, it's like Jim Cerny said the other night. He's looking at Dubinsky as one of his guys, one of the building blocks that he's going to, you know, move into the next 5 years with as he's coaching this team. And without Dubinsky there, it's hurting him, and they've got to start looking to what they're going to do without him. Stan, we're starting to fill up on the switchboard. I want to take some other calls. I thank you for calling.
Okay.
It's nice to hear from you again. We hope you're
call back next week, Bob. Stan. I'm sorry.
That's Stan. Don't insult Stan like that. Stan, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Good night.
All right, thanks.
I can't believe how many people have come up on the show. This is really nice.
How could you do that to Stan?
Sorry.
Let's bring in the Mouth. Good evening, Mouth. How are you this evening?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good evening, whatever time it is. I just got in from the city, and I had to make this show. Unbelievable. Great show going on today.
Well, thank you, Mouth. How are you?
We're like Blue Shirt Banter after dark here, just like Cinemax.
I'm telling you. It's fantastic, I'm telling you. And I know you guys like to wear the delicate clothing, if you know what I mean, during the nighttime. Joe, I picture in a nice Ranger little ensemble, complete with the Ranger pajamas there with the logos.
I'm wearing a satin robe with a Ranger thong.
I've got a Ranger smoking jacket on, Mouth.
I'm wearing nothing but a smile, ladies and gentlemen.
As
that's
always.
Where he's most attractive.
Let me tell you what I'm smiling about, gentlemen. God, I'm so glad about Evgeny Grachev. This guy's the real deal. I'm excited. I'm telling you, Joe, you were the first one who ever mentioned this guy to me. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't hear anything about him. I met Joe, and he says, oh, they got this guy Grachev. I'm like, you know, there could be another Hugh Jessamyn coming down the pike, you know, for all I know.
The next Ferraro.
Right. And then I start doing research on this guy, and I start going, this guy's a man amongst boys at every level he plays in. So, okay. Now you hear these scouts, you know, these people, and listen, I give my props to the Jess Rubensteins, but they have their favorites, and, you know, and these other, oh, he didn't look good in the Traverse City, he looked, I don't know, he was a +4, but he looked bad, or something like that. So anyway, I got a trained eye, you guys have a trained eye, Ranger fans that I'm reading in the chat room, we got a trained eye. I see this guy in the first game, I'm watching this guy like a hawk. He has a presence out there, and, like, he looked like he made the transition flawlessly. And then tonight, again, same stuff from this guy. I think we got a real, real, and I'm going to say it. I think this guy could be a superstar in this league, at least a dominating first-line player. Now, with that said, I think he needs a year in Hartford just to get used to the pro grind. He's got to travel. He's got to learn to come to play every night. Some of the people have said that he doesn't really understand the work ethic. I think that's just a You know, a lot of times these Russians get tagged with this, you know, lazy Russian. It's just a different style of play. He hasn't looked lazy out there to me. I'm telling you, he looks great, doesn't he? I mean, does he look great?
No, I agree with you that he does look great. I disagree with you that he needs a year in Hartford. I think that if you're talking about learning the grind and learning how to come to play every day, I don't think there's anybody better he's going to learn that from than John Tortorella. That's just my opinion. I think I have no problem with the Rangers taking this kid at a young age and putting him in there. It's time to take that chance. We've had so many years of these 35-year-old, you know, wingers that just hanging on, and you know, I'm pretty sure that this guy, that Grachev, can give us the same productivity this year that we got out of Naslin last year. So why not just put him in there and let him learn it at the best level? Let him learn how to do it right there. I think they should. That's my opinion.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. What I think is going to happen, though, because I'm getting the vibe from the Ranger propaganda machine at MSG, you know.
Are you hearing whispers?
Oh, I'm hearing whispers, but they're in the form of Toucan Sam and Joe Micheletti over there. I knew Gilroy made the team. I know Gilroy made the team in the first 5 minutes in that whole love fest they had for him. He's in. It's like it's always preordained who's going to be on the team already, and that bothers me. But I'm telling you, you know, see, Grachev is making dominating moves out there, and I don't even hear him talking about him. You know, it's all about, you know, Gilroy and Delzato. I didn't see him get pushed around. Somebody said that in the chat room. He got pushed around. He looked great in the first game. But, you know, the hype machine is Gilroy. No way they can put two rookies out there. No way. But I think he's going to wind up going back to the OHL. Joe, what do you think? I think Grachev's ready now, but if he plays the fourth line, does it really help?
First of all, I just want to make a comment on something you said. I doubt highly he goes back to the OHL. Did you say that or did you see it go to the AHL? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
AHL.
I definitely think it's NHL or AHL. I mean, obviously, if the Rangers are going to call him up and he's going to play fourth line duty, don't put him out there. But here's the difference between a John Tortorella team and a Tom Rennie team. John Tortorella rolls three lines. He doesn't roll four lines. The fourth line will see 5 minutes of ice time a game. So, in essence, if Grachev plays on the third line, he will be getting somewhere around second line minutes. And on Tom Rennie's team, he wouldn't be getting that. On Tom Rennie's team, the fourth line saw 10, 11 minutes. That cut the third line to 12, 13 minutes, and blah, blah, blah. John Tortorella puts out guys that prove themselves. And I completely agree with you, Mouth. If you put Evgeny Grachev in this system right now, you're going to give him a rocky first month, maybe first 5 weeks, and I think this kid is going to explode. I think he is the real deal. And the Rangers have not had a prospect like him come down the pike in a long, long time. I guess the only other person I could put there would be Sharapanov, God rest his soul. So I truthfully think that in the beginning, I was really upset that the Rangers weren't going to sign Dubinsky. I was worried. I had a pit in my stomach about it. Now, if Brandon Dubinsky continues this and he doesn't come back and Grachev takes his place, so be it. Let it happen. Because I really think Grachev can make a difference.
Let me ask you something, because you know, you go back even longer than I do with this team. How many times can you remember where the Rangers had a, we'll just count forwards, where they had a forward, a young kid like this, that they brought him right in and put him right at the NHL level? I mean, there haven't been very many. You see a lot of teams do it, but the Rangers never seem to do it. Kovalev, he was 19 or 20, I think, when he made his debut. The only other one I can only think of two other ones. I think Amonte was pretty young.
Right.
Did Leach come in right out of college?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about forward. I'm trying to just make
Tony
that comparison.
Tony Granato, perhaps.
That's the other one. That's the other one I was going to say was Tony Granato. They're the only other ones I could think of. Why not? Well, you know, the way it's been done the last 15 years, you know, it just doesn't work. You know, like when they signed Guy Lafleur at 38 years old and he scored 20 goals and the Garden would go nuts every time he touched the puck. But you could have gotten a kid to score 20 goals. That Guy Lafleur, you know, the whole Garden would go crazy when he touched the puck because he was Guy Lafleur. Who cares? We could have had a kid do that. You could have brought somebody up to, you know, and I hate to take us back 20 years, but whatever.
Right. But
you understand what I'm saying.
And, you know, Rob in the chat room, because I'm watching it, a very eventful chat room in there, he makes a good
point. The chat room's great tonight. I love
it.
Yeah.
He made a good point that the Rangers have already spent some money on some guys, and that may leave Grotchev out of the. But to me, if John Tortorella, if this is indeed John Tortorella's team, the guys who play the best are on the ice regardless of salary. I mean, sure, you got Gaborik's got to play, a couple other guys got to play, but other than that, it should be based on merit. And you're going to see whose team this really is coming out of camp. If it's Tortorella's team or it's Glenn Sather's team. Because there's a lot of you know, this is common. I'll give you one galling moment, and I asked Zippe today on his live chat about this. Why?
Hey, you were all over that chat today. I saw you in there.
You know, hey, listen, I had nothing to do. But I want to know why Glenn Sather signed Tyler Arneson. I don't care how the lacking of center iceman for $1 million for that waste of space. They would have to have a black hole as big as the Islanders' center ice problem in order to have a Tyler Arneson. That was a typical Glenn Sather, I don't know what I was thinking move. But I just want to reiterate, you will find out coming out of camp who has Tyler Arneson even played a preseason game?
All right, can I defend this move for a minute? I want to defend
this. All right.
Was Arneson on the ice tonight? He was supposed to be one of the centers tonight.
No, I don't know. He may have played, but I want to defend this move by Glenn Sather, and here is why. We talked about this on the radio show 2 days ago. Because the New York Rangers' 2007 draft was so horrible, obviously Sharapanov passing away with the first-round pick, and then the Rangers didn't have a pick until the fifth round. So there is a humongous lapse of talent for 1 year, and that year falls on this year for the AHL.
Joe, they had Greg Moore. They could have Greg Moore and Tyler Arneson are interchangeable for me. I mean, what's the sense? I mean,
Glenn Sather is signing, like Corey Locke, the move for Corey Locke. Glenn Sather is signing second-year talent to play in Hartford and to give the guys like Grotchev, if he plays in Hartford, and Byers some experience. Say what you want. Arneson has played in NHL games. He's an NHL fourth-line center, and he does bring experience to the table in Hartford. He's not there to play in the NHL. He's only going to play on the Rangers if four or five people get injured or whatever. I think it's a pretty good move.
I'm next behind him on the depth chart. What are you kidding me? This
I think it's a pretty good move. Could just be me. I do.
All right, Joe. Listen, hey, you're entitled to your opinion, and I value it. But you know, this is another thing. What Rhys Miller's getting $1 million? Voros is getting. Why do we got to spend every money of that cap, every dollar to the cap? Those guys should have never been signed. But again, listen. I don't want to get on a Glenn Sather rant. I know that's what that was the Titanic, the iceberg.
Ixnay on the Athersay.
I gotta tell you, I listened to that show at 3 o'clock in the morning, and my mouth was just duh. But anyway, that's my rant. I just think Tortorella, and you know everybody's saying it's a business. But if Tortorella, if he's walking the walk and he's talking the talk, Grotchev's in that lineup. Delzato, well, not Delzato, but Gilroy, of course, he's been ordained. I'm telling you, they got the
You know, Micheletti with Gilroy, this, they, you know, they showed everything. You know, I'm just saying, what I'm not, I'm actually not saying anything right now, because I'm just saying nonsense. But I'm just, I'm excited, and you know, I just want to say one thing about the Rangers. I am totally excited about the future. We have a lot of young guys, and the Rangers fans, I don't know.
We have a future.
They have
a future.
Now, I might be just delusional, which this could be the case, but I really believe this. I'm buying into this. I'm buying into it. I see it on the ice. Now, I know it's two preseason games. I don't want to, you know, get too crazy, but, you know.
But it's not just – I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but it's not just that it's the two preseason games. You've got a coach there who's won a Stanley Cup. He's got his assistant coach who he's comfortable with. They know how to work together. They work well together. You've got an assistant GM in Jim Schoenfeld who is also going to help with the coaching. And you know, they're willing – so from the minute John Tortorella got here, they're starting to remake this team in his image. And with the apparently strong drafting that they've done the last few years, 07, you know, that one was aside – but there's been some strong drafting the last couple of years, and while there's been free agency mistakes, you know, eventually we'll climb out of those holes, and you'll see that there is a future in place. We haven't had this. Even I mean, Knopf will tell you, you know, a lot of you guys are too young to really, really know. Even when the Rangers won the Cup in 1994. I think most Ranger fans knew that beyond 94, the cupboard was kind of bare.
Yeah,
you know, you had a lot of guys whose best days were behind them, and they put it all together, caught lightning in a bottle, rode the wave, won the cup, and then the following year, you know, they were already, you know, they got a year older really fast. You know, I mean, we knew that the cupboard was kind of bare. You know, I'll never forget I hate to keep bringing this up, but I'll never forget standing at the Rangers parade. And the cup went by with Alexei Kovalev, and the guy standing next to me, I don't know who he was, turned to me and said, "This won't be his last cup with the Rangers." And I said, "I hope you're right, because, you know, I just, you know, and little did we know."
He got caught up in the moment because that team was just built to end the curse, and that was it. There's no thoughts of a dynasty or building a team for the future. That was just the end of 1940 shenanigans, and that was it. This has the makings, and I'm going to say it right now, a dynasty. A dynasty of winning. I'm not saying cups, but I'm saying a dynasty where we infuse these young guys, and the salary cap really forced Glenn Sather, and he's still trying to screw it up. But still, the salary cap and spending money willy-nilly wasn't working for him, even though he predicted it. If he had the Rangers' money, he could buy a Stanley Cup team winner every year. Well, that didn't work out, and I'm just excited about the new year. And you know,
no, Mouth. Here's the best part about everything you're talking about is that you haven't even seen half the talent that this Rangers team boasts in the prospects department these two preseason games. You have not seen Derek Stepan, who is probably the Rangers' best prospect aside from Grotchev and Anisimov. You haven't seen Ryan McDonough. You haven't seen Bork, Horik, Werick. You haven't seen Kreider. You have not seen some of the more important guys on this team who are still too young. And, you know, obviously Stepan and McDonough are in college, and that's why they didn't come and play. But next year, they're going to make serious, serious strides towards making this team. And Stepan himself could push the Rangers over the edge when it comes to a winning dynasty.
I agree. You know, when you say dynasty, and, you know, obviously you're not talking about, you know, it's hard to say this is going to be a team that could ever win the cup every year. You know, we could only dream about that, but What I think you're saying is, and I agree with you, is a team that is going to be the top four in the conference, you know, for a few years in a row, a team that other teams are going to worry about, a team that other teams, when they go into their off season, they're going to think, how are we going to improve? So how are we going to stack up against the Rangers? What are we going to do to combat their speed, their physical, whatever? You know, that's what I think they're getting to. You know, they're probably still 2 years, maybe 3 years away from that, but we can see it. And I think that's why Ranger fans are so excited. I think, you know, eventually we will turn around this negativity that just oozes out of Ranger fans.
I mean, I know we can talk about this on internet radio, but if you ever talk about this on terrestrial radio, they shut you right off. The job that MSG is doing is horrible. Absolutely horrible. It's disgusting. I watched Sam Rosen. He is terrible. He didn't even call the players' names. I'm watching an exhibition game here. I want to know, I don't want to see Higgins fall 41 times. Call the guy's number.
Sam Rosen? You're complaining about Sam Rosen?
Pick it on Sam. Bring back Jim Gordon, he says.
And Micheletti, forget about it. He was having an absolute love fest with Gilmore from the beginning. This is what I'm saying is they should be talking about this, and they never mention guys' salaries, and that cheeses me off because salaries are an integral part of sports today, especially with a salary cap. You watch a football game, and they say, oh, this guy signed for a contract. They're expecting a lot out of him. You never hear them say, oh, you know, the Rangers really expect a lot of Wade Redden because he signed a 6-year contract for $400 million or whatever. They never mention that part of the game. That bothers me, and we all know why that is. It's because, you know, they can't upset the apple cart with corporate up there. And if that annoys it's a bad job. They should have features. If I can do it from my home computer, they should have a half-hour feature on Grotchev. They should have a half-hour. To get the Rangers, we're in the know. These are the diehards at Blue Shirt Banter. These are the guys who are real. We care. We care. We love this team. And MSG, who has all the access to everything, which works out better for internet radio shows like mine and yours, they're at their disposal, and what are they doing? They're showing 94 Cup highlights. Who gives a crap anymore? I'm sick of 94. That's it. I'm
We got about 17 minutes to go, guys. It's a short show tonight. I want to bring in another caller. We got,
all right, take care, guys.
Oh, you can stay on if you want.
All right.
Up to you. All right, let's bring in 845-827. You're on Blue Shirt Fan Radio with Jim Joe. We got the mouth on with us. Who's this?
It's DB Maven, but you had to put me on with the mouth.
Oh,
wow.
A complainer already. This is not a good way to start with the mouth. The mouth will eat you up.
Your rating just went down 80% with this guy on.
good evening, DB Maven. What is your first name again?
Craig.
You had to think about it?
Yeah, I did.
I can't even walk my thumb at the same time.
Well, anyway, good evening and welcome to the show. Why don't you, DB Maven is one of our newer members of Blue Shirt Banter.
I love DB Maven. I only
He's been with us for a while now, and he does a great job on the site. He's got a lot of great thoughts and opinions, and we really love having him there. So, what's on your mind tonight? What's your impression of the first two games in this season?
Well, first, let me say thank you for that great build-up. I appreciate it.
No problem. Now go ahead and prove me wrong.
Prove you wrong. I will. I'm going to try to do that. First, I need to say that it's the first two games of freaking preseason. Everybody needs to sit back and relax. We've seen some good stuff. We've seen some
You're
bad
right.
stuff.
The You're
bottom
right.
line
we suck.
Is we're talking about Grotchev like he's the second coming of I don't
Lemieux.
Know who. Rocket Richard.
Mario Lemieux he is.
Mario Lemieux. There you go. Okay. He has a
He's a Russian Gretzky.
He could turn into that. He could turn into that. But where he's going to end up, I think it's way too early to call. You got to let the preseason play out and see what happens. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, But at this point, he could have three bad games in a row. So that's that point. I'm just going to let that go because
But that's what being a fan is all about. We can sit here. We can get all excited about this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, we gotta
have
a kid too.
We need like that song said. Give me something to believe in. You know, we got something to believe in. It feels good right now to be a Ranger fan. At least for me,
absolutely.
It does. Anyway, I'm excited.
Absolutely, I am excited too. There's a lot of good stuff that's going on. The other guy that I have been impressed with, not as much as Gratia probably, but in a different way, is Leason. I think that Leason had a kind of a rep as being a speedster and, you know, kind of a skater. But what we've seen from him is working the corners and hitting. And he's more of a complete player than I think at least I thought he was. And he's really out to prove that he wants to make this team.
Well, I agree with his evaluation of Leason. I don't agree with Gratjev. Gratjev is going to be a superstar in this league, and I'm going to get excited. I'm not going to be the negative, cautious, optimistic Ranger fan anymore. I'm full-fledged. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm ready. Now.
So you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I've always
done. Yeah, there you go, brother. Belly up to the bar with the rest of us.
But let me tell you about Leason. He surely knows Zheredev, because when we got him, a lot of people saying, oh, he's just a Zheredev type. He's I didn't see that at all. And again, I don't want to get too excited because it's only two preseason games. But Leason looked very good. I agree with the voice of reason, DB Maven.
Thank you.
DB, I have a question for you.
Wait. I just gotta throw something funny in, and I hate to keep going back to this, but Rob, who is RMC 235 on the site, he's in the chat room, and he made a joke about preseason champs, and you guys are talking about two preseason games and getting all excited. Do you guys, Mal, do you remember in 94 before the season started, the Rangers played two games against Toronto in London?
They won that
with
cup.
It was the French's Mustard Cup. Do you remember that? my father calls me up after the Rangers won that second game, and he goes, excuse my language, I'm sorry, they won a goddamn cup in 54 years, but they got the Mustard Cup. Congratulations. Anyway, so yeah, preseason champs, here we come. But
hey.
I'm sorry, I like throwing that. That's a good. I like that story, the Mustard Cup.
It's better than seeing a Valerie Kamensky, a Martin Rusinski, these losers out there going up and down the ice. At least they got young guys. I'm excited about it. Yes, I know it's way too early, but right now I'm just loving the young guys.
I mean, this is what I was gonna say before I was interrupted for the Mustard Cup. But I wanted
to know.
That
Mustard Cup story is a good one.
I wanted to know what your opinions are, and this is to the field, DB Maven, Malf, and Jim. Chad Johnson looked unbelievable today. He looked really good. And
yeah, I mean, got off to a shaky start, but seemed to settle down, looked good, and from what I saw, looked good in the shootout. We've been joking about it ever since they made that trade for him. How he passed up on wearing number 85, I don't know. I think he's missing a marketing opportunity for himself.
He's just going to change his name to Ocho Cinco as well, just the hockey version. But I liked what I saw from him. He's a young kid, 23, and the Rangers got him for nothing. They traded a fifth-round pick. They had like 48 fifth-round picks this year, and he's playing his way to Hartford, and I am quite impressed with his play. So DB / voice of reason / it's the preseason / Well, I don't have anything else. Go ahead.
I agree.
The other thing I was impressed with.
I think that he's, first of all, has he got a wicked glove or what?
He does.
The kid, no rebounds at all. It was just incredible. I'll just say that Jess at the Prospect Park has been pumping this guy, and you've seen it now. Why? Because he's very calm. He stays in great position. He's got a wicked glove hand. He doesn't get rattled. I mean, he could very well be challenging Valley for the backup spot.
Wow.
That is quite a claim.
Yeah, from a guy who doesn't believe too much in the preseason.
See, I just
good
wanted
point.
To shock you.
I liked what I saw from him. I liked, you know, funny thing is, though, the Rangers had, they took another goalie that round, Scott Stager, or however you say his name. And, he played yesterday. He was okay. I didn't really see anything fantastic. But Chad Johnson caught my eye, and you're absolutely right. His glove hand, it was impressive. In the shootout, he looked really poised. So the Rangers may have got something here.
Yeah, I really do think they did. They got a steal there, and the thing about Johnson versus Stager is that Stager's younger. I forget, he's like only 19 or something like that, whereas Johnson's a little bit older, played out of college, etc. So he's kind of more like Gilroy. So he's got a little bit more under his belt. He looked impressive.
I can tell you this much about Chad Johnson. I was sitting next to. When I was at the NHL draft, I was sitting next to Frank, who runs the Pittsburgh Penguins blog, Pensburg for SB Nation. And when that trade went down, I looked at him and said, okay, who the hell is Chad Johnson? And he said, well, he didn't have a whole lot of information on him. All he knew is that the Penguins were very high on him, and that I believe he had been injured, but they were very high on him, and he was very surprised that they let him go for a fifth-round pick. So, you know, It would be nice if they could groom a young backup that can step in. But there was something else here in the chat room.
Don't forget the other thing with Pittsburgh is with Marc-Andre Fleury being as young as he is, Johnson probably just would have been stuck behind him. So it made sense for them to get something for him, maybe more than a fifth-round pick. But really, does he have any place to go if he'd stayed in Pittsburgh?
But by the same token, he's only 3 years younger than Lundqvist.
That's a good point.
On the room, no one said anything. What's going on?
No. I was just about to say. I mean, you know, just because you have a number one means you. Yeah. I mean, what happens if Fleury would have went down? You would groom a guy. You would think of. Hey, listen, I'm happy we got him. I ain't complaining. I didn't see the shootout, or I didn't get to see Chad Johnson in that, but.
He's got a set of hands on him.
What?
He's got a set of hands on him, yeah.
How'd you like Lundqvist's new duds tonight? How about that?
I liked him. I mean, he goes with the white pads because he says it's an optical illusion to make his pads look bigger against the ice. But whatever works.
Yeah. Did he have a new mask on tonight? I read somewhere today that he's got a new mask. Did he break it out tonight, or is he saving it for the regular season?
He wore it tonight. Trey Croner mask. He switched to a new company, Bauer, from his old company, so he's sporting all new gear.
In other words, he got a new endorsement deal.
Exactly, which Tort says he's going to try to rein in on Lundqvist this year. Not so many off ice obligations. He's going to put his get him in the nose to the grindstone.
You know, I mentioned that in the chat last night, and I just want to let everybody know we got about 7 minutes to go. If you guys want to get a call in, we'll put you right on 646-478-4692. Just about 7 minutes to go, and you know, I've heard that. I wanted to bring that up. I've heard John Tortorella say that a few times in the last few days about the focusing on hockey and the off the ice stuff. You know, the. And I know we brought it up before Gomez was traded. We speculated that maybe he was one of those guys. But I keep hearing Tortorella say that. And he must have – and I can't help but think that he just showed up in this locker room after Rennie was fired. And to him, this must be a huge problem with this team that he's trying to overcome. And I guess – and, yeah, his statement about Lundqvist, you're right, Mouth, that he talked about, I guess maybe, you know, at least – he doesn't want to come right out and blatantly say it, but maybe he does see that as a problem with Henrik Lundqvist as well.
I mean, it could be the case. I mean, you know, you're in New York, you got a little more, attention. They'd say if you played in Hempstead or one of those other franchises, you're not going to really, what are you going to do?
Or
York? Local appearances at Roy Rogers, handing out balloons. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, New York, the MSG.
I'm out at the Sizzler in Massapequa.
No, I'll be appearing at the Sizzler in Smithtown, me and Chris Higgins. No, I'm only kidding. But, yeah, so, I mean, hey, Rennie was a player's coach. This, I mean, he was a, he wanted to be your best friend and the whole bit. Listen, I'm not going to knock Tom Rennie because Tom Rennie is responsible for all these young guys we're getting excited about. Unfortunately, we had to endure 4 years of his coaching. But, anywho, I think it's a great move, and I don't know how it's going to work with Avery. I mean, Avery does a lot of these GQ things, a lot of these things. He's going to be another guy he's going to have to keep his eye on. But he's talking the talk. I tell you, I'm going back to point one, and point one is who's running this team? Is it Torch team? Is it Sather's team? We're going to find out.
Well, here, this might, you know, I thought you said this before, and I thought about it, and then I kind of, we got on something else. Here's, you know what might be a measuring stick of who's running this team is what happens with Dubinsky. If Dubinsky gets traded for some over-the-hill player, you know, just to fill that spot, then I think that'll give you an indication of who's still running this team. If Dubinsky gets traded for another, you know, if they turn him around for another younger player that seems to be, you know, fit the mold here, then I think that would give you a better indication. What do you think?
Well, I got to be honest with you here, Jim. I think that John Tortorella kind of proven that it's his team already, because think about it. Every single thing, every problem, every nuance he mentioned has been dealt with. They have a go-to guy in Gavrik. He has his point man for the power play in Kotalik. And his big-time, big-hitting defender, they're inviting guys left and right to camp. So I kind of feel like John Tortorella is, the team is shaped in his mold, and I really don't think there's much of a question about who is running this team anymore. I can tell you for a fact that Rennie and Sather were working hand-in-hand when it came to the New York Rangers, but I can also tell you that John Tortorella kind of keeps his distance from Sather and does things his own way.
I just want to comment on something Moisha said in the chat room. He said that they're talking about a little bit about Tom Rennie in there, and he said he was good with player development but a bad coach. And I'll disagree with that to a certain extent. I don't think he was a bad coach. I just think he was a bad fit with the hand he was given. I don't think I think he had too many players that weren't capable of playing his system, and I just don't think he was able to adapt. I mean, let's face it, the guy he did bring them into the second round, you know, the first year back after the lockout. You got to give him a little credit for that, and you know, he did kind of help bring them out of the doldrums. We went seven seasons without getting to the playoffs, so you got to give him a little credit for coaching that team into the playoffs. Granted, they didn't have a whole lot of success, but you know, they almost got paid. You know, they were a few seconds away from getting into the third round season. I wouldn't say he was a bad coach, but hey guys, listen, we got about 2 minutes, so we got to wrap it up in a second here. But go ahead.
Yeah, the one that boggles my mind, I'm not sure Rennie got dealt a bad hand. The one that to me made the least sense was the fact that they went out and signed Redden to a ridiculous contract when he did not fit Rennie's system. Not in a light year, doesn't matter how you twist or turn it, he didn't fit. It was the most nonsensical signing ever for a Rennie system.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, I'll agree with you, and there were so many of them, but I think
you're right.
New York has such a lust for the big boy on defense who can bury the puck from the point. And Sather had a dream, and he went with it. I mean, it's plain and simple.
It turned into
a nightmare.
Yeah, but that's why we're hoping maybe Redden will rebound a little bit under Tort's system.
He looked good today.
Guys,
we
got a minute to go. We got to wrap up. I want to thank you guys for calling in.
Thank you.
There's the British lady with the 60-second update. Guys, thank you very much for calling. You guys in the chat room, thank you so much for showing up at this late hour. I appreciate it. I know a lot of us got to get up and go to work tomorrow morning. Don't forget, we're on Tuesday night. We'll be on at 7 o'clock. We'll take all your calls. We'll have a couple more preseason games under our belts to talk about and whatever other news is going on. So, you know, make sure you check us out then. And you guys did a great job in the chat room again. And Moisha, make sure that phone is charged up so you can call. And don't forget Ranger Crisis Radio tomorrow night, I believe at 9 o'clock.
Yep, 9 and, to 11. Okay.
There you go, 9 to 11. And you got somebody on from Hockey's Future, don't you, Mel?
Oh, I don't make I go. She got hit in the head by a puck and can't make it.
Okay, so tomorrow night, the guest to the host. All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
and we will see you Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Good night, everybody.
Bye.